Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot. Oh my. It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Psychic medium Helene Olson and paranormal researcher Patricia Baker. Here are Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Supernatural Girls. I am your host, Patricia Baker, and I am here with Barking Dogs and my fabulous co-host, Helene Olson. Helene, hi, how are you?
I'm great, Patricia, and my dog could bark at any moment, too, so don't worry about it.
Any little noise, you know, sets them off in the wrong direction at just the right moment.
Yes, of course, like kids, you know, it's the same thing.
That's exactly like kids. Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I think the weather's been wonderful. We finally got a warm week and a little
fantastic.
Bit of rain.
Yeah, but you know what? That's fine with me. I didn't have to schlep those hoses, so my garden's happy.
Yeah.
I didn't have to water it. It's just nature's cooperating at the moment, so many blessings for all of us here.
Yeah, and I took a walk on the beach finally. I haven't done that in a while, so that's
you
nice.
Did? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the end of summer, and I can't believe it went by in one blink.
Oh,
gone.
Goodness. I know. That's how it feels. It feels like just yesterday I was thinking about what I was going to plant in the garden. And here I'm looking at pulling out tomato plants that have expired and other things. It's all over.
I saw myself looking at chrysanthemums in the store the other day, and I'm like, what am I doing? It's not even September yet.
I know it.
You know?
I know, but it is.
Yeah.
Here
now
we
it
are
is.
In September. Yeah. Goodness me. Mm. Oh.
It goes so fast, Patricia. It's amazing.
It does. It's just too fast, too fast. But you know, we've got a great guest tonight, and he's going to talk to us about some amazing ways to tap into our own inner light, and I can't wait to get him on the show. It's Anders Nielsen, who is an internationally recognized scientist. And, you know, usually when we have people on the show, they're scientists. We don't use the word scientist and heart in the same sentence. So with Dr. Nielsen.
Well, you have a point with that, but I thought the book was amazing. I really did.
Yeah, well,
I
with
thought
Dr.
it was a
Nielsen,
great guide for people who are trying to find their way.
Yeah, he's a different kind of person, and he's accepted science and embraced spirituality very uniquely. So he's going to be wonderful to talk to tonight.
That's going to be great. Yeah.
You've got some exciting things coming up because we've been experimenting with the vortex. So please tell everybody what you have happening.
Well, you know, you and I meet every week, if some people who are listening don't know, and we're doing some experiments sort of connecting with the divine and many others in the course of our mediumship and so forth. And the vortex has been visiting us. And I think it was this week that the vortex actually connected to our bodies, right, Patricia?
Oh,
so,
it certainly did, yes.
Yeah, so Tuesday night I'm holding a free energy transmission. It is guided to me by the angelic realm, but vortex energy will be used, and hopefully it'll get people feeling centered and calmer and more peaceful in this horrible energy that just rails over me sometimes, Patricia. There's so much negative news in the world right now. We're not going to get into it, but it's hard, I think, for even people who are acutely aware of energy and so forth to stay centered in this, don't you think?
It's very difficult, and it feels like it's ramping up. It's coming in from all sides. So I highly recommend everybody join you on your next energy transmission, because it is so healing, so helpful, so grounding. Every time that I listen in and feel that energy coming at me, it's just wonderful. So please also go to Helene's website, which is angelslighthouse.com, for all of the things that Helene is doing and offering. All of them are wonderful. But especially now, things are transitioning pretty quickly, so everybody needs all the help they can get. So go to angelslighthouse.com, and also be sure to sign up for our newsletter at supernaturalgirls.com. And there will be live tweets during the show tonight, and make sure that you follow us and retweet. You will have a chance to win this fabulous book, which is The Gentle Way of the Heart, Discover the Light Within, by our guest, Anders Nilsson. So, on we go. We've got Patricia Kirkman here again.
Great. And she, I love her. Oh.
I love Patricia, too.
Yeah.
I mean, she's wonderful. Another sister of ours. What can we say? So, welcome, Patricia.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here with two such lovely ladies.
Oh, well, thank you. And you've got some interesting news to share. We've got the number 4 coming up tomorrow. What are we going to have happen for the number 4 tomorrow?
Well, the 4-day, because it is a universal 7-month, we have to take a look at, regardless what our personal stuff is, the universe takes priority. And the universal 7 is all about our spiritual side, fantasy, disbelief, fears, and what is most important is the heavenly powers that are there for us. So we can reach out and touch. And tomorrow will be a very sensitive day. You'll find that many of us are going to be more sensitive than we've been in ages, because we're feeling everything. Because this month is a review of this entire year for everyone.
Wow.
So we're going to get a bit of a double whammy going right down the line. And with the universal day tomorrow, it deals with our sensitive side and being overly sensitive, which can, if the scale is tipped too much, make us very insensitive. Going along with what you're saying, people don't know where they fit and they're scared to death.
Well, I'm hiding in bed tomorrow, Patricia.
Well, I'll tell you what, I say I'd hide next to you, but I'm going to be under mine.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. But you said we can reach out and touch the divine realm, so that's all good.
Oh, definitely. The month itself is all about our spiritual side, and it's letting go and letting God step in front of us. Whomever you decide is your master, use what you know. Allow things to come through to you, because this is fascinating. We're dreaming things and seeing things that we never thought we would.
Amazing.
Like,
so it's a powerful day.
Oh, well, the month itself is extremely powerful because of the spirituality of the entire month.
Wow. Well, thanks for the heads up on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Now, we have an incredibly talented actor to talk about, Mr. John Sim, who is the star of a new series called Intruders on BBC America. And I have to say, this guy has really caught my attention. He's very unusual and I think remarkably talented. And I mean, I just can't wait to hear what you have to say about him. I was really turned in his direction when I saw him play the Master in Doctor Who. And boy, did he ever nail that role. He was amazing. So now in The Intruders, I'm watching and waiting to see the same brilliance. So what do you have to say about him?
Well, he's going to be a very interesting person to watch because, firstly, he got fed up with being all of the attention that he got from Doctor Who fans. So he doesn't want to be associated with that now. He wants to break free and to be the next of who he's going to be, if that makes any sense. He's married to Kate McGowan, and they've been married for 10 years, and they've got 2 children, a boy and a girl, and he's very dedicated to them. But he has this flip side of him that is all the actor. He doesn't trust a lot of people. I think if they check back, they'll find that there was issues with he and the father figure as he was growing up. But this is a man that doesn't totally trust, but when he steps into something, he steps in with both feet.
Wow.
Very
well,
interesting person.
He is. He almost, I don't even want to say quirky, because he's not. He's so much more than that. But, I mean, with...
quirky does fit.
Yeah. He's an amazing actor. He truly is, and
oh,
I can't wait to see how his role unfolds on this new show, Intruders. It is a dark show, but, again, he has so much that he can bring to this. So I'm going to watch and wait and see what he brings. Well, thank you, Patricia, for sharing that information about John Sim. And I know a lot of people will be tuning in to watch that show on BBC America. So I hope
fabulous
next week,
at the role.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I hope next week, I hope, we will have a really exciting numerological experience with the coming Thursday, and we will have all survived tomorrow. So,
oh, we shall. We shall.
Oh, goodness. Well, Patricia's
prepared for on a day-to-day basis for nothing to stay as we see it, because we are all going to be changing our minds almost daily.
Wow.
It's going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. A lot of
definitely
flux.
That.
Well, for anyone who wants a reading, a personal reading, you can reach Patricia at her website, which is Patricia Kirkman, KIRKMAN.com. And Patricia joins us every week to give us the number for tomorrow and what that means, as well as paranormal celebrities. If there's a paranormal celebrity you want us to look into for you, send it along. info@supernaturalgirls.com. So thanks, Patricia. And now we have an interesting guest we're going to bring on. So stay tuned, everybody. I'm Patricia. I am, again, thank you for all your help with
welcome.
Your numbers.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks. Okay. So
thank you, Patricia. Bye-bye, dear. Bye.
Our guest is Dr. Anders Nilsson. He is an internationally recognized scientist from Sweden, now living in California's Silicon Valley. But he's calling in tonight from Sweden, actually. It's about 1:30 in the morning or so there. So it's kind of him to join us in the middle of the night. He has authored or co-authored over 250 scientific papers and one scientific book. In parallel and independent from his role as Stanford professor, he has nurtured a strong spiritual awakening that has been guided over the years by his own inner voice. His teaching program and upcoming events can be found on gentleway.me. Well, Dr. Nilsson, Anders, welcome to Supernatural Girls.
Oh, thank you, Patricia. I'm very excited to participate this night in your show. I'm calling in from Sweden here, middle of the night, so it's truly a supernatural night for me here.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you here, and you've written a very interesting book, The Gentle Way of the Heart, Discover the Light Within. Now, how did you get onto a spiritual path? You are a scientist, so how did you learn to listen to the inner voice?
It was a process. It started probably a little bit more than two decades ago when I was in some emotional turmoil. At that point, I was actually a very fundamental scientist. I would say nothing that we cannot describe by science is not real. So I was in this little bit difficult time with myself. Things were not really happening in my life what I really liked, and I had a lot of relationships problems. So I turned inwards and tried to do some healing with myself, some emotional healing. And I went into therapy and many other things. And very quickly, I sort of just pushed a button and I went through a very fast process, and suddenly another aspect of me came forward. And I transformed quite dramatically during a period of 6 months to 1 year, and some of my friends didn't recognize me. I'm still the same. I'm still Anders, so to speak, but I changed quite dramatically during this time. And then I started to get this voice coming forward, and I started to view everything very differently.
Now, when you say your friends said they did not recognize you. For example, what? I mean, did you? I mean, your whole demeanor changed. The way you spoke to people, the way you embraced people. What changed?
I think what changed was very much my perspective on things. What was important, what you put attention to, what you were interested to talk about. What really is your perspective on life? What is your priorities? Which friends do you see? And so a lot of things change like that. I think many people sometimes go through phases in their life where they suddenly have something is changing rapidly, and we might change friends, we might change jobs, and so on. So this was a little bit what happened to me, and this whole spiritual realm, so to speak, opened up, and it was a very exciting time, and it's a journey that is still ongoing for me.
So you've basically started a way to in classes and different things like this, and certainly your book, to share ways for people to find that inner perspective.
Yes, I organized a lot of workshops in Sweden here a number of years ago, and it's also been very revealing for many people to discover the true nature. I would say that very much what my book is about, and also what my teaching about, is this discovery of who you really are, and this discovery of who you really are will help you a lot when we go through our life, because our life often have this up and down. We know that we can be in these wonderful moments when everything is very peaceful, or we are very excited, or we're feeling this enormous love within. Maybe we are connected with a partner, maybe we are connected with our child, or we are amazed by beautiful music and so on. But often we lose that connection. We are stressed out, we feel frustrated, we feel afraid, maybe the world is frightening for us. And so on. So we will always have in our life this up and down. Even the best enlightened master will also have his down periods.
It happens to everybody,
yes.
No matter how enlightened you are, there are still those events.
Yes, there is. And that is actually part of being human, is to have this experience of up and down. The difference is, if you have discovered who you are, you might, I call it sometimes, you hold one hand in the light of your heart, and the light of your heart is who you truly are, the love of, and the deep sensation of just existing. You hold one hand in your heart, and with the other hand, you reach out to the challenges in your daily life. So we are never disconnected from your true source. And when you can operate from that perspective, you can still have the ups and downs, but you don't take it as much personal. You just allow yourself to have an experience in life and enjoy the ride, so to speak. A little bit like you go to watch a movie and you can be very drawn into a movie and it can be very emotionally intense, but you never lose yourself sitting in the chair in the movie theater where you feel that you are where you are sitting and you are enjoying the ride of the movie, so to speak, and we can feel a little bit the same type of experience, that we are never lose ourselves, our true self, when we have the ride in our ups and downs in our life.
Well, I think that's a wonderful exercise. It really is. And this is the kind of thing that we all need to hear right now, given what Patricia Kirkman shared with us, how we are all in a state of flux. We're going to be changing our mind every day, and we're facing a lot of turmoil, as Helene mentioned, from all sides. This is a really good exercise to keep one hand on your heart and think about your other hand as reaching the challenges. And now I have a question, actually, that just came up in the chat room. They would like to know, what was your aha moment? What was the moment that changed it for you? Is there one, or do you think it was just a process?
I think it was more a process for me. It was, I think the strongest aha moment 20 years ago was when I actually found some stillness. And I when I went in to start to meditate and so on, I found this stillness. And that stillness that I found, I really enjoyed that very much. And I was seeking that stillness often every day. So instead, for instance, something that changed, I was driving, commuting by car, often through Stockholm at that time, and there was a lot of traffic. And before, I might have got a little bit impatient to be in traffic. When I found that stillness, I sort of thought, oh, my God, this is a good opportunity to just enjoy being with myself in the car. I'm in traffic now. I don't need to get upset by it. I can just enjoy being. And that was a little bit the aha moment when I went through this process, to discover that every day that I could just enjoy being in stillness. Whatever it was, waiting for something, sitting on a plane, sitting on a train, driving, of course when you drive you have to put your attention to what you're doing, but when you're in traffic and so on. But it's actually true, when you are a being, when you are very connected with yourself, you are very focused on the present moment, you actually have a more an awareness of driving than when your mind is full of thoughts. So it's not dangerous, so to speak. but it was my aha moment. Yeah, it was the stillness to find that.
Wow. Well, I have a question for you about stillness, because I do meditate as well as Patricia does and all of that. And I've taught meditation to people, and I often, over the many years, have gotten people who say to me, there is no way I can meditate. I can't be still. I can't have my head clear of thoughts. And, you know, I say, fooey to that. You can do whatever you want to do.
Right.
But how do you instruct people who really believe that they don't have the capacity to be still?
I often do an exercise that I actually done in some of my workshops. We can meditate or be in stillness in many different ways. It doesn't need to be the formal, let's say, strict meditation where you just sit on the floor and have your eyes closed and so on. A very good exercise is to take a walk in nature. And then you practice as you walk in nature, that you decide to not to stay out of thoughts and just experience the walk. So you touch the leaves of a tree, you feel the sun shining on you, or maybe the raindrops falling on you, depending on the day. You smell, you listen to the sound, you just walk there, and then you decide to see, how long can I walk and just experience nature, experience my walk before any thoughts comes in. And eventually, after a while, some thoughts will appear and you lose that connection and so on. And when you've done that, it might take a couple of minutes in the beginning, and then you just say, oh, it just happened now. I came back, the thoughts came back. So let me go back and just enjoy the sun or listen to the birds. I put my focus on the walk being nature, and I think that is a practice that many people can do. And actually, many people do that without thinking that they actually are doing a meditation.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
part of people enjoying to be outdoor, whether they are fishing or whatever they are doing to relax, being out in nature, and it's just it's an actual rather simple practice.
So really, it's about making your focus something beautiful, something that you can experience,
yes.
Whether it's looking at flowers or whatever that is for people. That's a really good thought. Yeah, because people sometimes believe they create a belief inside themselves that they're not willing to sometimes break out of. Yet they're standing in front of you saying, I want to be the spiritual person, but I can't stop my thoughts. And so I guess you have to get through that belief first, and focus is a good way to do it. Yeah, I like that.
And another way I have discovered, which I also did a lot in my workshops before, is what I call sink into this sensation that you exist, and you focus on that. When you really think about it first, that I exist, and I don't need to do anything to exist. I don't need to think anything. I don't need to pretend to be someone. I just exist. It's actually the most simple thing you can do is to exist, mm-hmm. because you do that matter what you do actually do. You exist, and you're seeking that sensation. How does it feel to exist when you don't need to do anything else than just exist? And sort of seeking that sensation brings you into what I call beingness, mm-hmm. when you just can enjoy being who you are. And as you practice that beingness, you bring it into your daily life. So you live your daily life out of this beingness, where you seek in every moment you can this sensation of that you actually exist. And you can do that when you're working, when you're whatever you're doing, you bring that with you. So it's not to do a meditation exercise, it's actually making life like a meditation.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow.
That's wonderful.
Isn't it? I mean, have you found people who were around you who knew you as your former self suddenly, after seeing your transformation, turn themselves into a spiritual path or become want to emulate what you were doing, Doctor?
Yeah, some people did that. When this happened, let's say, to me 2 decades mm-hmm. ago, maybe 2 years after, I formed a little group, a spiritual group, mm-hmm. with some of my friends. And so some of them were drawn into it, and some other friends were a little bit afraid of it and actually was repelled instead. They sort of took another path. They're still my friends, but they might not have been that close after that as they were before.
Mm-hmm.
So some friends really followed. Yes.
That's nice.
Because I would imagine just some people, because I know, Helene, you've experienced this with some of your clients and some of the people in your classes, there's actually a fear of the silence. And there's a real attachment to all of the activity and all of the work that is created by emotion and all of these thoughts, whether they be obligation or, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. But it creates this whirlwind of activity. And people, I think, get addicted to it.
Yes.
Well, they think they're supposed to be achieving something or doing something and not just wasting time a lot, I find. Very, very motivated people don't want to stop and smell the roses at all. It's sort of like, well, what is that doing? They don't really know how to embrace it.
Right.
That makes
sense. But it comes when you make the decision to open your heart and start walking that path. You need to make a decision that you are willing to do that, and I think many people have maybe unconsciously made that decision that walks a spiritual path, that you really want to do that, and for some people they're a little bit afraid of it, but they can do it too. They are just a little bit afraid of, because often for many people, I have found that we might enter difficult times, and the difficult times, which of course is very hard at the moment, can often be a blessing, because the blessing is that what the difficult times shows you, how you lived your life before, is not working any longer, and you need to take another path, and that can often lead to a spiritual opening. Yes, what had happened to me.
So you talk about this in your book, and you cite examples of people who, in fact, one of them was a woman who kept choosing to be in abusive relationships, and then she got sick of it, and finally got into therapy, and then was looking for an entirely different kind of person to be with. And, you know, that type of change, it's not, I mean, you really kind of have to roll up your sleeves, which I'm sure this woman did when she got into therapy, to dig deep and find out what started this whole thing off so that she could change it. As I think it's important for people to know, and certainly today it's much more accepted, that, you know, get into therapy. Find somebody to work with to help you release these old emotional patterns so you're not driven by them anymore.
Exactly. So we can do therapy, but I think also as we go into therapy, it's also important to bring a spiritual component with it. That is my experience, what I meant with this holding one hand in the heart, the light in your heart, and reaching out with the other hand. As you're going through these difficult times, as you're releasing or whatever process you need to cleanse a lot of your actually pain you have experienced in your life that is stored within you, as you need to release that, we can release that also in what I call the gentle way. And the gentle way is to do the work with one hand in the light of your heart. So you practice that, to be kind and gentle to yourself as you go through this difficult time, and practice to show love to yourself and thereby also love to others. Because who we really are is someone that is very loving. That's who we are.
And that's wonderful. But when you're caught in a pattern, I think you can use, there's so many different tools to use. And I love your image of one hand on your heart and the other reaching out towards the world. I mean, I have a friend years ago, very funny story, and I think humor is important because it can give you a little bit of a different perspective on the choices you make. Now, this was a lady who was very beautiful, and she always picked the wrong person to be with. So she got on a plane one day to go out to California and ended up sitting next to this very good-looking doctor, and she looked at him, and he said, you know, he struck up a conversation with her, and they were so friendly, and then he wanted her number, and she turned to him, and she said, you know what, I really like you, so I'm sure there's something really wrong with you. I'm not going to give you my number. So, you know, it was just that moment, you know, that moment that I always pick these guys that are a problem. Sure enough, it turned out this guy was engaged. So, but that moment of humor, you know, it just gave her enough distance to say no in a loving way to herself. I'm not going to do this again. And it was just a great opportunity to make a change. And again, from a loving place, as you're suggesting, from a humorous place. But it was a very powerful experience.
Yeah.
It came from love and humor.
Yes, and often when we can have some humor, what we could call it truthful humor is, maybe a humor is also because we don't take everything too seriously. Particularly when we are taking a spiritual path, we might take everything so very seriously, and life is also about having fun and having joy in our life. So it's a very important component, so to speak, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's invaluable. And again, these times are tumultuous. It is important to try to keep that sense of humor no matter what. I think we're all being tried by fire here. But I thought it was a wonderful story when she shared it with me. I laughed for At
yeah.
least a couple minutes. Good one. But to go back to what you said, you know, also about the work of this. I mean, when you embrace the path as you have done, and you're sharing with everybody tonight, our audience, the people that read your book, the people that come to your classes. What I really liked about what you said just a little while ago is you're really talking about taking away the work of living and embracing the grace of living. And I like that. It even takes work away from me. Helene, don't you love that?
Well, that's how I live. I don't take anything too seriously, Patricia. You know me.
But you know what I mean? It's like there's a lot of work around emotion. I mean, when you're in the throes of an emotional situation, there's a lot of effort that goes into that.
There is,
absolutely.
But if you're on the path like Anders is, you don't react the same way anymore.
That's right.
Once you're touching that light inside yourself, the reaction isn't what it was.
I have to be honest here because, of course, I still react.
Everybody reacts. It must
have
gone way down for you, though.
Yes, it does. The difference is that I might react, and I might just I react much less. And
right.
And I recognize that I reacted very, mm-hmm. very more or less immediately, and I sort of oh my God, I reacted now, and then I try to practice to forgive myself that I did that, because if you hold a grudge towards yourself, then that you reacted is actually still part of you. So
after all these years though, I'm sure you're reacting, you know, 50% of what you did initially, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe more, you know. The reaction takes a lot of energy.
It does, and this practice, you know, seeking in the sensation to exist is a little bit of, it's a very simple way. I like simplicity. And it's simple because it is much more energy that goes into having all these thoughts and having all this emotion running around. It's a little bit what we call in physics, since I'm also a physicist, that we have a lot of excited states of our atoms and so on, but there is a ground state where all the motion and everything has just fallen down into a ground state. And it's a little bit the same here as when we seek this sensation of just existing, or what I also call beingness, we actually are reaching our ground state, where we are more in a resting place, so to speak, and with full awareness. We are not out losing ourselves in the thoughts and the emotions.
Well, it is a lot of drama when you get caught up in that, and again, it is a lot of work. And there, if there is some connection, what I find works with the stillness, if you make a joyful connection with the stillness, it's much easier to expand it. And what I find is a lot of the people that we work with in our practices here, there's a level of fear about that silence because this whole dramatic emotional expression is a big distraction. And when people are left without it, they just sometimes don't know what to do with themselves. So if there is some level of joy and relief associated with the silence, then it can grow. But it's not that easy sometimes to get people there.
I think one of the reasons is what you just said, that people are afraid of the stillness, is that we are many of us, and I think all of us, to more or less degrees, are walking around with a lot of pain within, stored pain that we have experienced based on experience in our childhood or during our life. And we are very afraid of getting in touch with that pain. So often our thoughts and also our emotions and how we are reacting to things is based on trying to avoid to feel this pain. So we might put in a situation where we might feel this pain, and then what I call is the false self that takes over, and we become unconscious, unaware, because this false self is acting out, and is acting out because we don't want to feel that pain.
We don't want to feel that pain, but at the same time, Anders, don't we also find ourselves, if we avoid it, we're going to just reenact it over and over again? That same issue will come up.
Yeah, that's exactly the point, because the false self is taking over. Each time we are afraid of getting in touch with the pain. So, of course, the way forward is to do the opposite. We need to get in touch with that pain and release it. Often it's because we are afraid of the pain. That is more driving us than the pain itself, because when we get in touch with the pain itself, it's not that bad. It actually can be quite a wonderful feeling to get in touch with the pain, because when we can do that without feeling the fear of it, it can be released, and it's a wonderful feeling when we release it. I've gone through that many steps in my own practice to release pain. For instance, when we suddenly can cry, and we might be holding back to feeling that sadness, when it really comes over us and we have no barrier to it, it's just burst in, and it actually feels quite good to be sad and cry when that feeling, the emotion, can really be released in us. It's because we are afraid of it, and that we then keep ourselves as a prisoner because we are afraid of it. And so the stillness, of course, as we go more and more into the stillness, we can no longer avoid feeling that pain, so we need to get in touch with it. So part of walking the spiritual path is to actually transform what I call what is false in you, which is this pain. It's not really the real you. It's only something temporarily you stored within you. Is to transform this false part to become the real you, so to speak. But we have to realize that as we take that path, we are going to face our own demons, we are going to face our pain we have within. But again, that I emphasize, which is a lot what I think my book is based on, is this gentle way, where we work in the process by holding the hand in the light, also as we are facing the pain. We can let to coexist and feel the love and light in our heart at the same time as we feel the pain. I call it a little bit that eventually you bring the pain up, you become intimate with the pain and your fears, and then you let it melt in the light and love from your heart. So we are not pushing it away, we are bringing it towards us, but we at the same time are feeling that sensation of existence, beingness, and the light and love in our heart.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. And think of what a release that is of energy, because as you mentioned, when you're trying to control the pain and you're trying to keep it in a certain place, that takes a lot of energy. So that whole transformation...
Yes.
Can happen when you release all that energy. You own it. You take it all back.
Yes, and it's like you have a void in you that has been sort of expelled by you expel love for yourself by keeping that pain there, and as you release it, what is really you yourself, your true self, is filling that void with love.
Hmm. That's lovely. Well, we've got some more questions coming up for you in the chat room. But first, what we're going to do is take a very short commercial break. So, everybody, if you have a question, please call in 646-478-0828. And stay tuned, everybody. We will be right back. We are talking to Anders Nilsson, and he is the author of The Gentle Way of the Heart, Discover the Light Within, which is available on Amazon.com and in bookstores. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
This is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic One Company. As one of the pioneers of the Organic One movement, since 1980, I have brought you the very best and most authentic organic wines directly to your table. I work with small family estates who grow certified organic grapes and produce exceptional wines. You can purchase our wines individually from our website at theorganicwinecompany.com or join one of our wine clubs. Our organic wines are perfect for you and for your family as gifts for friends and relatives, and they are simply spectacular for the holidays. Visit us at theorganicwinecompany.com to enjoy the very best organic wines conveniently delivered to your door. I am Veronique Raskin, passionate about my mission. I offer to you vegan, organic, and biodynamic wines, wines made by people of the heart, wines with a heart. Au revoir. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Are you ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with cosmic fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the source. With cosmic fusion, the source energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our cosmic fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion. www.kosmicfusion.com to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit cosmicfusion.com today. cosmicfusion.com.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy Attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are speaking with Dr. Anders Nilsson, who is in Sweden tonight, and I do mean tonight. It's in the middle of the night over there, and he's kind enough to call us and spend the rest of his night with us here on Supernatural Girls Radio. We're having a pajama party, and we're talking about your book, Anders, which is The Gentle Way of the Heart. It's a beautiful book, and it's filled with wonderful stories and exercises that people can do at home for themselves to find that quiet inner light.
Yes, I, I, I think the exercises are both for people to do at home, but also do during the daily life, whatever it is at work or when you are with friends or so on. It's just it's both a little bit of meditation, but also to reflect and of maybe stop for a few seconds during the middle of the day and see what's going on. To reflect.
That's what we need to do. Stop sometimes because it gets a little wild.
Yes. I mean, I think we all have this experience where we get this itchy feeling within ourselves that we want to respond in a certain way. And it's a good practice to recognize when that itchy feeling comes because it often then comes from your false self. It doesn't come from your true self. And then if you just hold back a few seconds and realize that, oh, it's there, and maybe I shouldn't say anything right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop for a few seconds here, because I recognize this itchy feeling. The itchy feeling is often that we want to respond immediately, or we want to send off an email immediately, and so we just hold back a little bit, and it's a good practice to recognize when that itchy feeling comes during the day, Yeah.
Well, you talk about that as an itchy feeling, and actually there's a question from the chat room about anger, because anger can come up very quickly, very fast. And so how do you handle that? Let's say somebody does something or something happens and you feel angry. How do you handle that?
I mean, I get angry all the time. So I'm just being honest. So how I handle it is usually the anger comes. I often call it my own radio narrator. I don't play out in anger, but it comes within, and it's a little bit like I have a conversation within myself where I call this my radio narrator, you know, telling me you should do this or you should do that and I should respond in this way and so on. And eventually it goes on, and then I recognize after a while, now the radio narrator is speaking again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take it too personal here. And then I let it go around for a while. And I sometimes sit down and try to focus again of how it does to feel, how to exist, and focus on the light in my heart. And then the radio narrator is going on, but I'm not letting it to take any power.
Well, that's a good answer.
I'm still going to get angry, but I might not play it out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Now, here's another question for you from the chat room. This lady's asking, do you find you must forgive yourself so you can allow yourself to feel the pain and let it go?
Absolutely.
So the forgiveness comes first?
I actually have it in one of my chapter when I talk about the fear of the pain and so on. The first step is forgiveness. And it's a good practice every evening, maybe when you brush your teeth or just before going to bed. You're standing in front of a mirror. And then for a few seconds you reflect on the day, and you realize that you did something silly or you did something that wasn't very good. And maybe you reacted with anger or you feel a little bit ashamed or guilty. And in that moment, you look at yourself in the mirror and you forgive yourself. You forgive yourself that you did all that. Because not forgiving yourself, you just hold a grudge to yourself. It's not going to change the past. The past is the past. You can't change it. What you can do instead is to say, next time I will try to be a little bit more aware, and so I wouldn't respond in such a fashion or respond in that way. So I will try to do that. But the first step is to bring the forgiveness in. And the second step after you have brought the forgiveness in is that you practice to become intimate when that itchy feeling comes up. Or when you get a little bit fearful, you become intimate. And I have a little trick that I have used, and I've given it to other people, is that when you have that itchy feeling, or let's say you are getting triggered to get angry, I give it a name, like a personal name. It's like a person is coming up within you. We could call it Paul, or we could call it Nancy, whatever name we want to have. And then we say, oh, hello, Nancy. Hello, Nancy. Are you here again? It sort of is coming up, right? So you recognize it, and you don't push it away. You bring it towards you, and you try to feel that itchiness or that anger. You feel it. You allow it to be there. You don't push it away. You become intimate with it. That's the second step. And then the third step is to bring in the sensation of who you are and the light and love in your heart. So you connect the two. And then Nancy or Paul actually melts into your beingness. Of course, this sounds very simple. It's challenging to do in reality, but we can all do it.
Yes. I have a question for you about general fear, and I know myself I've overcome some huge fears in my life, and actually the absence of fear is really freedom, right? But, you know, the world has become so tumultuous. The things that we try not really hard not to hear in the news are still in our face no matter where we go. How can people sort of center themselves from your perspective in reaction to what's going on in the world today?
I think first of all, we have to recognize one thing, is that the world, this is my perspective, mm-hmm. The world is actually all the time getting better. Mm. When I grew up in Sweden, and we had practices once a week to go down in the bomb shelter if there was a nuclear explosion, atomic bomb. We had neighbors with Soviet Union, and we had the Cold War, and we, you know, there could be a nuclear war.
Yeah, there was a constant threat.
We don't have that
yeah.
situation, and so if you look at really what's happening over the last 40, 50 years, the world is constantly progressing into a better world. It's usually two steps forward and one step backward, but it is progressing all the time. In the 1970s, people thought that Asia would never get out of starvation. Asia is prosperous now. You have a half the number of poor people in India. So it's always progressing forward. It's just simply that we are fed by the news, often about negative news. Mm-hmm. It's very seldom news are positive. So we are fed all the time with negativity, and that negativity sort of makes a resonance within ourselves, with our own fear, and it actually makes people more fearful than they need to be. We can instead focus on a lot of good things that is happening in the world. It doesn't mean that we should not do anything of or improving the world. Of course we should do that. But we shouldn't be pushed into feeling this negativity or creating this resonance within ourselves with a lot of fear what is happening in the world. Because there is so much goodness happening all the time, it's just simply we don't hear about it.
Well, that's
yeah.
a very interesting perspective, and I can appreciate what you're saying. And it is, you're right, the media is very much into the negative side
yeah.
of things, and they report good news every once in a blue moon, but overall, a lot of the stuff that's reported is pretty horrific. And also there's a lot of paranoia in terms of what is reported. Is it really the truth? I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy stuff out there. So it creates a climate, I guess is what I want to say, a climate for all of this fear and more fear. But in saying that the world is actually improving, that's really a very different juxtaposition on looking at everything, and I like that a lot better.
Yes, but I think it's improving. What I meant is two steps forward and one step backwards, but it's always going forward, and it's it's simply, I believe that. And I mean, if we go back 67 years in time, you know, we had the Second World War. We have no idea how it was during that time. The horror, the terrible situation people were in, the Holocaust and all of that. And we had during the 1970s the Red Khmer, right, that well, we in Cambodia and all the things that happened in Southeast Asia. Now the young people instead go backpacking into these countries. For their holidays, so things are improving, and of course we have hotspots in the world that is still hasn't graduated with enough love and light, so to speak. We have a lot of issues in the Middle East, as we know, and there are many parts of Africa, but also Africa is improving a lot, and even a country like Rwanda that had this ethnical cleansing, you know, this terrible thing that happened there, they are actually becoming very modernized and they are developing economically very well, and prosperous and so on. So things are going well. Before we had dictatorships all over South America. There were torture and so on. And many of these countries now are actually democracies. So it's going forward.
That's for sure. It is moving forward, absolutely. Let's see. Now, here's another question for you. How do you change the negative feeling that the news is portraying? How do you get beyond that?
My own, how it affects me is that I don't focus too much on the news myself. I'm following some of it, but I'm not very focused on it. What I'm trying also to do is to have compassion for people that are in difficult situations. One thing I have recognized is that there's a very different situation to have compassion when things really happen in your life around you, when you encounter difficulties, something happened in your surrounding. People are in need. Most people are extremely compassionate in that situation. I think many people know that, for instance, from September 11th in New York, on that day, people were so close to each other. They were really out there with their heart for each other because it was a very real thing that happens to people. It's just when we see things on the news, we are very disconnected from it. We are not as compassionate because it's not really up in our face, in our real surrounding. So it's just a practice on this to feel compassion for the people that is going through these difficulties. And compassion is not the same thing as feeling sorry for someone, because when we feel sorry for someone, we are a little bit putting them down, like they are not up for their challenges, because everybody has their own challenges in life. We don't know what their challenges really are. But compassion means instead that we feel with them. We have no barriers to them. We accept them. We are with them, but we don't look down on them. And that is what we should practice in this time, is to send love, feel love and compassion to the people in difficulties, but not take in and become fearful, because when we become fearful, we put up barriers instead of feeling compassion and connecting with people. We put up barriers when we become fearful, and we shouldn't be triggered by the negativity to do that. So it might be a good thing to sit down as people are affected by the news, is to sit down, go do the first step to feel the sensation to exist, and then work within to see if they can connect with the light within them and sit with that to coexist as you feel the negativity bombarding you from the news.
Mm. Great answer. Okay.
That's fascinating, really. I love it.
Now, when people go through these classes with you, Anders, do you find that they also have psychic experiences or paranormal experiences as they begin to get more in touch with their inner light?
Absolutely, yes.
When, can you give us some examples
of
that?
I organize. Yes. I mean, it depends a little bit what you mean with paranormal experiences. I sometimes call them a little bit mystical experiences. But in the book, for instance, I describe a couple of these in my own life, what I have experienced.
Fascinating. They're really interesting.
Because I can say this also as a scientist, you know, reality, how we think about it, our mind thinks about reality, is maybe a very distorted version of what actually reality is. And so we, when we get in touch with our deeper part, we might actually see things very differently. And then, for instance, time, there's a very interesting aspect what time means. You might even get in touch with parallel existences of yourself, which I have done. I have met, some people call it past life. I call it actually parallel life or parallel parts of you. And these are not in a linear fashion of that you had a life 100 years ago or so on. This is something that actually is ongoing simultaneously now. And you could connect with that aspect. And for instance, I did that once in a meditation, where I saw myself being in a monastery. Actually, I think it was in Tibet. I was meditating, and that aspect of me there became aware of me sitting in this life meditating. And then across time and space, we actually embrace each other, and we said, "We are we," and it was an explosion in my heart, and tears was coming down. So what I'm saying with that is, people, as they open up to themselves, they might find many, many different branches of their own self going into all sort of existences. That can be a very beautiful experience.
I was going to say, I particularly enjoyed your story about Hawaii. That was really fascinating.
You mean my wife in Hawaii?
Yeah.
And this is all true, actually. This is my experience. I still go there.
Please share this
with
our audience.
Patricia and I have had similar experiences, right? So we understand. And it is very interesting when people start focusing on their heart awareness and they can actually open up these different realities. I think it's really shocking at first, right?
Yes, it can be very shocking. You can do the exercising just by looking at yourself in the mirror, and then you practice a little bit with your eyes to look at you don't focus very much, you look on the long distances, and you might have a shocking experience how your face changes. Things might not be as our mind thinks they are. And in physics, many of these things are not very strange. In quantum mechanics and so on, we can have all sort of things coexisting. So.
But
can you talk a little bit?
Patricia. I'm just going to say what you're saying makes a lot of sense in terms of if you have this forgiveness of yourself, acceptance of yourself, and you let go of this monkey mind chatter, then you really are able to perceive on a whole different level, much more expansive. So it makes sense. Why wouldn't you be able to see into other dimensions, have experiences of yourself in parallel universe? I mean, why not? I mean, our mind power is certainly able to go in those directions, but not as long as we're chattering away like a bunch of idiots. So... So quieting that constant, useless, aggravating conversation should be paramount. Then you can have all of these paranormal experiences that our audience really loves to have.
But there's one aspect here what I like to stress, and that I call it sometimes a mystical experience when you really get in touch with who you are, and you get in touch with your divine that the light within you is the divine. You actually are the divine. And this is what is the mystical aspect of yourself, the mystical experience. The paranormal and the, some of the occult experience will come with it. What is very important is not the it's not to focus too much on the paranormal and the occult. Stay with the mystical. Stay with the light. Stay with the divinity within you. Because people can sometimes lose themselves too much into the paranormal, and that is taking over. And then they lose the connection with their own mystical self and the divinity within them. So it's important to see what is the goal. The goal is really to... in my opinion, is really to get in touch with who you really are and that you realize you are the divine.
I can live with that.
I love that differentiation. I really love it.
And then all the other phenomena are side phenomena, but the main goal is to actually have that realization.
I'd like to ask you about reality because, you know, it is only kind of a movie, as you said in your book.
Yes.
And I actually had a friend years ago who used to say that when somebody else was having problems and she was trying to help them, she'd say, but it's only a movie. It's only a movie. But this person actually had the worst possible reaction to anything that happened in her life because then it wasn't a movie anymore. It was her. I do believe that, you know, what we see with our eyes here is an illusion, and I can't explain it because I'm not a physicist, but maybe you can do a better job of explaining why there's a difference between what we're seeing as reality and what illusion is.
I think a good analogy is actually to think about what happens during the night. I think all of us have dreams. We dream at night, and sometimes we wake up and we are still having the experience of the dream, and the dream was so real to us, and we are waking up and we are thinking, oh my God, was it only a dream? But this was more real than I in my own life is. I was so immersed in that dream. Not all dreams are like that, but some dreams are really, really, really intense, very, very real for us.
And you also don't forget those dreams easily. They stay with you for a long time.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. And there might be, I have had dreams sometimes where things are very similar to my life, but there are always some major differences. And then you can ask yourself, how come in these dreams everything is real? How can the brain compute everything so exactly according to laws of physics, how everything moves and everything? How everything is described with accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit the same here. Maybe what we actually experience is that our divine, who we are, is just having another level of another more, a little bit more real dream than what we dream at night. And so so what I often think of actually myself being a scientist is that I cannot describe who I am as a scientist because I am not of this world, because I'm the dreamer that is dreaming up this world that I experience. And my role as a scientist is to really investigate this dream, this reality that I'm dreaming up, and really try to understand it, all the physical laws, all the things, how the nature works, and so on. So it's fascinating when I think in these terms that I am actually, as a scientist, discovering how things work, what I'm dreaming up as my life. And it puts things in a little bit different perspective. So, and therefore, what I mean is the same thing as we dream at night. We are the dreamer, and we are someone. We put a piece of ourselves into the dream that we experience, so to speak. But we can analyze the dream, but we cannot really analyze the one who is really the dreamer, who is really putting this up, so to speak. So it's a little bit the same here with our reality. We cannot describe who we really are in terms of any attributes from this world, this reality we have, which is, of course, the mystical aspects of our religions, because we are the divine. We are not of this world. We are just experiencing this world.
So a lot of the techniques that you talk about are really about creating a little bit of distance between what we perceive to be reality, our reactions towards this reality. And so that creation of a little bit of distance, whether we become a better observer or whatever you want to call it, it seems to be a big key to experiencing
yes.
the presence.
It is to experience the presence. It's actually to experience fully the dream more, so to speak, your life dream or how you want, whatever you want to call it. But it's not to distance yourself in such a way to make it superficial. It's actually to allowing yourself to embrace life more, to actually enjoy being on this journey to have this experience. And being part of that journey, being part of that experience, is also to allow the ups and downs, but by not taking it personal. It's like something bad happened, you have a bad experience, you can still have an inner smile as you have that.
Well, that takes a lot of enlightenment, right?
I failed many times, I can tell you. But I have that as a goal. I have that as a goal, but I fail all the time too. Of course, I'm a human, like everybody else.
Well, that's important to hear. Thank you for your honesty, and I'm sure that gives everybody hope that we don't have to be perfect about this.
No,
but like you said,
that,
have the goal.
Yeah, the perfection is actually something that puts us in the wrong path. Perfection is because when we perfect. Think about perfection, we actually put ourselves in a distance, we are putting up boundaries. Instead, the word is acceptance.
Sounds like a word we should have taped to our mirror, acceptance, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Because yeah. acceptance actually becomes the other side of the coin as love, because when we accept something, we bring it to us, we don't put up boundary. When we accept ourselves, we love ourselves. When we accept other people, we can have unconditional love with them. When we accept the past, we forgive. So acceptance is the key.
And with forgiveness, you know, I don't know how and what you think about this one, so I'm interested to ask you, but it appears to me that people get this a little mixed up. It's really not about forgiving the other person. It's really about forgiving yourself, because if you're upset with someone and how they treated you or whatever, then if you boil it down, it's really you made the choice to be in a relationship with this person who treated you this way. So it boils down to this kind of self-choice and self-responsibility. So who are you really forgiving? It's not the other person. It's really all about you.
That is true, but you can also view it a little bit like there is a past, something have happened in the past, and you accept what have happened, and that brings the process of forgiveness both to yourself and to the other person, by seeing it is that I cannot change the past, I can accept it, and that is a little bit different way of looking at it. So I accept what have happened, and I might change my reality, how I go forward in a different path. I can make that choice, but I still have accepted the past. If I hold a grudge to someone, and I'm sorry, if I go back to your question about forgiving yourself, accepting the past is automatically also forgiving yourself, because you were part of the past, so to speak. It can be a good practice for everybody to just look at that. Can I accept what has happened in the past, because I can't change it? it is what it is.
So it sounds like you just answered another question that just came up in the chat room, was what do you do when someone does something that hurts your feelings or you feel betrayed by? So you're saying the first thing is to create an atmosphere of acceptance.
Yes. Another thing that is a good practice, if we understand and can bring in this concept of true self, which is really who we are, the core of our beingness, which is also the divine or the light within ourselves, and then we often lose ourselves because we have pain and fear, where it becomes the full self. And often when someone is doing something with us and we are feeling pain or we are feeling something, they are pushing a button on us, and we are bringing out the false self. It's the false self that is reacting. Often we want to respond to the other person because the other person often was acting out of their own false self. So we can go a little bit in this spiraling down where the other person's false self is bringing out our false self, and our false self is then reacting to the other person's false self, and so on, and goes on. So how you can stop this is that in the moment when something happens like this, it's again, takes a lot of practice, and it's not trivial at all, but is to strive for it, is to go in and recognize that you have this light and you are the true self, and then you look at the other person, and then you look for the other person's true self. So you connect true self with true self to the other person. Then we are, instead of spiraling down, we are spiraling up. And instead of putting up barriers, and we are maybe getting aggressions or angers, we actually bring love to the situation. It doesn't mean that we accept or really like what the other person is doing with us, but we deeply within ourselves, we accept the other person, who they truly are, as also someone that is carrying the divine light. And I think this is the basic in some of the teaching in actually from Christ, when he said, when someone stroke you on the cheek or hit you, you turn the other one. It means that you don't respond to the false self of another being. You actually look for the true self in them. That is, if we would do that, all the aggression in this world would dissipate.
So that's the challenge.
That's a big challenge.
It's a big challenge, but it works because, as you said in your book, when you're met with aggression, if you expend love and kindness, the aggression diminishes.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Of course, there are situations where you have to defend yourself, and you can't allow people to walk on you and so on, but you can do that still as gentle and kind as possible.
I'm talking about daily aggression, you know, when it comes to being in a store or having someone be surly to you someplace, like a random thing. You know, when you go right into love and kindness and don't react to their aggression, they seem to just sort of fade away in a way.
Yes, they do. They do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is my experience. And but if you are triggered by it and they bring out aggression or irritation from you, it's going to escalate.
Right. Right. And that does work every day in just small situations that you come across, because people are frantic and they're angry and they're bombarded all day long with too many things to do, and they get a little surly sometimes. And, you know, I believe it does work. It's worked for me, and it works for you. So if we learn how to sort of put that light right around us before we go out into the world every day and just smile,
yeah.
It seems to disarm people. It does.
It can be very disarming. You're so right. Yes. And that's exactly what you want to do. You don't want to get into a fight, especially with these people who don't even know what they're doing. I mean, you just don't want to go
no.
there.
No.
No.
And it's interesting if other people, when you meet other people with kindness, even when they're doing silly thing or a little bit aggressive thing, actually, and their aggression dissipates, it's a little bit like they, for a moment, recognize that maybe you are showing some light to them, who you are, and they recognize that they actually have the light within themselves. They might not be aware of that process, but that's a little bit what is happening.
Interesting.
You mirror into the light to them, and they realize they have that too, and that's when the aggression dissipates. Of course, it works more or less, but it's in that direction, so to speak.
One of my teachers used to say, you know, when you are meeting with anybody, no matter what their situation, you say silently in your mind, "I call forth the divinity within you." And that's a wonderful way of just subconsciously, and connect with them on another frequency and just give that pathway some light, some airtime, a possibility of connecting from that place instead of in a place of frustration. Because as we've been discussing now for several weeks, there is a lot of frustration out in the world today. And anger is not a power. So people that are going there may feel powerful in the moment, but it doesn't last. So in order for you to continue to feel what you think is power, you got to continue to feel anger. So it's a high level of discomfort. And letting go of that and going into the direction of what you're talking about the gentle way, that's where the real power is. It's not what we've been taught, but that's
no.
where the real power
Often
is.
Often we have been taught in our society that you need to show your strength and you need to fight back and, you know, all that. Strength is actually the opposite. The strength is to stand there with an open heart when someone is doing something like this to you. That is the strength.
So that is, again, the challenge. We all talk about this, and we do have it as a goal, which I love how you said that, Andrew, that it is a goal. We don't have to do it perfectly, but
no.
We do need to think about having that as a goal.
Yes, because if we, there is so much spiritual practice that also brings guilt to people. I don't live up to this, and I'm not this enlightened master, or I'm looking, you know, up to something. We have to stop that and instead going into acceptance, and then we actually become enlightened. We might not think that is enlightenment, but that actually is, in my view, what it is.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us from Sweden in the middle of the night.
It's been delightful. I really enjoy this. I enjoy this
wonderful.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really
wonderful,
and I hope everyone goes out and buys your book, because I really enjoyed the book.
Yes,
thank you
really
so much.
Very, very reality-based and very easy to understand, easy to read, easy to do all of the exercises that you had in the book.
I have a saying that things should be simple, and also being a scientist, I have a view that if someone gives me a presentation and it's very complicated, I often think it's because it's not fully understood. We should always strive to make things simple.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Well, you have a beautiful book here. It is called The Gentle Way of the Heart, Discover the Light Within. The author is Dr. Anders Nilsson, and we highly recommend this book. It is filled with pearls of wisdom as well as wonderful exercises you can do in the comfort of your own home. And if you would like to contact Anders, you can go to his website, which is gentleway.me. Oh, my goodness, what a wonderful evening, Anders, to have spent this with you. We both feel, Helene and I, very blessed. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for bringing me on the show. I really enjoy very much speaking with you, and I can feel all the audience out there.
Oh, great. Well, we hope you get some sleep.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, good night.
Thank you, Dr. Nelson. Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.
So, everybody, what a wonderful guest Dr. Nelson was, huh? Gosh, he
was
excellent.
What a fun conversation. It was wonderful. Yeah. I love the way he brings everything down into the simplest terms, the simplest understanding of being human. Because
yes.
we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves every single day, whether it's email, loved ones, illness, happiness. I mean, even I see people having celebrations and they're stressed out.
they're reacting.
They're upset. They're not. They can't take a joke. It's like, well, the bread didn't arrive. Well, guess we have no bread. Oh well. You know, I don't take
right.
those things too seriously. But some people get very, very reactive to small situations, and it's time for us to simplify everything, right, Patricia?
Oh gosh, anything like I said before that takes away the work of all of this, I'm all for it. So again, the gentle way of the heart does give the way, so we highly recommend the book. And there are two winners tonight. We have at ParaLive65, and that person actually won the book from last week by William Hall, The World's Most Haunted House. So that will be coming your way as long as we get your address. And the winner of tonight's book, The Gentle Way of the Heart, is at the Grown Man blog. So, Paralive 65, the Grown Man blog, we need your addresses so you can receive your copies of these fabulous books. Thank you so much for following us on Twitter and retweeting our tweets. We just want our community to continue to grow. We've got a great community here, and thank you for being a part of it. It's terrific. And Helene, please announce your energy transmission again, date and time, so everybody can join you.
People can go ahead and sign up for the newsletter on my website at angelslighthouse.com. I will be posting up my free energy transmission tomorrow morning on the website itself, but if you sign up, you will receive another newsletter on it. But it is Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, and they will call in to 646-721-9020, but that will all be posted up, and the people who are already on my list have received all the details. So other than that, they can look at my website tomorrow, and all the information will be up there.
This is a don't-miss event. I'm going to be on the call, too, and I can't wait to hear what happens and see what happens. There's always something exciting, Helene, when you do these kinds of things, so I can't wait.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that angelic realm, they're pretty powerful.
Yes, they are.
Everybody.
Especially when they come through you.
No, they're powerful all by themselves. They're just looking for willing souls and hearts who really want to step forward and receive this. You know, they kind of try to talk to everybody, but you know, when you step forward, that's when it really comes through.
Well, I'm excited and I can't wait. So everybody, go to angelslighthouse.com to find all that information. And be sure to sign up with SupernaturalGirls.com so you get our newsletter and you can keep in touch with us, because we've got some great, great, great shows coming up with more terrific guests. And we're going to be doing a lot of stuff on hauntings and ghost hunting. And, oh, my goodness, it's
October almost, Patricia.
It is almost Halloween. We're coming close.
Yeah, we are.
My favorite holiday. So... Anyways, Helene's been wonderful. Thank you so much for co-hosting.
Thank you, Patricia, and thank you to the audience.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for listening. And everyone, have a wonderful rest of your evening. We'll be back next week. Good night, Helene.
Good night, Patricia.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another radio adventure with Supernatural Girl.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.